Welcome to Mending on the Fly, the podcast about healing, fly fishing, and conservation. I'm Devin, your guide as we float through engaging discussions, expert insights, and stories from the water. Whether you're a seasoned angler perfecting your fly tying, a beginner overwhelmed by rods, reels, lines, leaders, and tippet, or a person interested in protecting our waterways, join us on this journey of healing as we uncover the benefits of fly fishing and being outside. Ready to wade into the world of fly fishing? I will see you on the water.
Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm glad you're here and hope you enjoy this episode. Before we start, I want to say that speaking to Anne was a true pleasure. And I'm an overspending Semperfly consumer, like way too much, but their stuff is excellent, so please check them out. I also wanted to ask you to like, subscribe, and leave a rating if you have time. It helps me broaden the audience and expose more people to fly fishing, fly tying, conservation, and the benefits of being on the water. So please help out by doing that if you can. Also, if you have any feedback or want to contact me directly, please find me on Instagram at oldlineangling. It would be an honor to receive your feedback as I seek every 2 weeks to improve. So please don't be shy. Now here is Anne Kitchener.
Joining me today is Anne Kitchener, the acclaimed CEO of Semperfly, a leading manufacturer of fly tying materials used by anglers and commercial fly tiers worldwide. Under Anne's leadership, Semperfly has achieved remarkable success, recently winning the prestigious Queen's Award for Enterprise and International Trade. With a passion for innovation and a commitment to serving the global fly tying community, Anne has guided Semperfly to become a true powerhouse in the industry. Anne, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Devin. I'm delighted to be here and be a part of your podcast. It's a great honor for me, so thank you very much.
Well, and it's been fun to just kind of go back and forth with you, because ever since I went to my first fly tying show convention here in the States, it's like, you know, I see Semperfly materials everywhere. I've got a big pile sitting here in front of me, which we can get into as well. But yeah, it's really an honor to have you on the show.
Well, I'm thrilled.
And I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. If you would you just give us a quick kind of background of yourself? Tell us where you're from, because I know you didn't just grow up wanting to be the fly tying powerhouse that you are.
I come from very humble beginnings. We're based in the UK, but originally I'm from a very small part of South Wales, from a mining community. We left Wales when I was young. My dad was offered work in England, so we moved, hence the lack of Welsh accent right now. But my dad did quite well there. He took himself out of mining. He worked really, really hard, and he became a very well-respected teacher. My mum went into nursing, and we grew up in England. And I met this guy one day at the swimming pool called Andy, and the rest, as they say, is history. And we moved to Yorkshire in the very, very early 90s with our two children. And originally our career was, both of us, we were working in IT, specializing in e-commerce. Andy's a true geek, a real geek, and I was on the sort of sales and marketing side.
And were you in that industry kind of in the 90s during the internet boom?
Or? We rode the boom and the bust.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And it was fun. It was fun. But we got to a point where, our kids were leaving home. One went to university, one moved out. And we thought, you know what, if we don't make the change we want now, we'll end up in another cycle. You know, we're going to get stuck. We wanted to do something that we both really, really enjoyed. So we took a little break to work out what we wanted to do. And we jumped into the wonderful world of fly fishing and fly tying.
Now, what was the timeline there?
So this was end of 2006, basic e-commerce to when we started exploring what we could do in the fly fishing world. So we spent a bit of time exploring it, looking at the market, looking at what was out there. And by 2010, we were on the R&D of the materials that you now know that are used worldwide.
And why in 2006 did you look at fly fishing as opposed to candlesticks, you know?
Right. Andy, my dear husband of 40 years, is a passionate angler, a real passionate angler. And he's been very fortunate. He's fished the world. I've gone with him where I can. A lot of his trips were, he's fished the foot of the Himalayas, he's done the Arctic, he's done Great Barrier Reef, and anything and everything in between. But that love came home, because at that stage we were living in Yorkshire, which is the home of fly fishing. You know, it's where all the history comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived on a river. You know, we spent our lives on the river. We did everything from walking our dog along the river, fishing the river, our kids playing in the river. So we knew that we wanted that to become our life, to work in an environment that we were passionate about, that, I'll be frank, that wasn't as horrendously stressful as the IT corporate world, where we answered just to ourselves. But at the same time, we recognized gaps. We recognized gaps in the quality of the materials that were available. You know, we could see that some of the materials were just rehacked versions of something else from another industry. They weren't designed for purpose. So that's where we got stuck in. We wanted to develop something that was designed for fly tires, for fly fishing. So that's what happened in the start of 2010.
I love that, because really, like, up until recently, I've only gotten serious about fly tying. And, like, I've got a ton of stuff from Joann Fabrics and Michaels on the wall. But, you know, the thread is different. Like, when I look at your... Like, I've got that some nano silk here. I mean, it is just... It's perfect for fly tying. And it's durable and
it's the strongest out there and of the very best quality, Devin. So it should be perfect for your needs, I hope.
It certainly is. And so, 2006, you got the idea, and you didn't start the R&D until 2010?
Yeah, or so we were exploring the kind of retail world during that time. So, we spent quite a bit of time looking into that, but the proper R&D started in 2010.
Excuse me. Okay.
So we uncovered a lot
And can you tell me a little bit?
Sorry, Devin. Carry on, please.
Excuse me. Can you tell me a little bit about the R&D process and how that even works? Because I know, it seems to me that one of your big things is creating synthetic materials that are exportable, that you can travel with and not, you know, be worried about getting held up at customs. Was that the initial thought, or, you know, where did the R&D start and kind of where is
it
now?
At the time when we were doing this, we were very, very proud parents. We're now very, very proud parents and extremely proud grandparents, okay? And
congratulations,
by the way. We're potty about our family. and we want to do all we can to protect the natural world, both for our next generations and future generations. You know, maybe our great-grandchildren, who knows? okay, and beyond, and everybody else that gets involved in this. The natural world, when it comes to fly fishing, is rife with challenges. You only have to look at what's happened to the supply chain, to the quality, to the what happened in avian flu, etc. But what's happening to the world where, you know, rare birds, you know, we don't see them anymore. Sorry. So we don't see them anymore. You know, so we wanted to make sure that we protect what we've got for the future. So what we wanted to do was go down the synthetic material route, where we use recycled, recyclable materials as best we can, so that for our little grandson Louis, that, you know, he can be enjoying his fly tying into his dotage, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I think it I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and that's our whole raison d'être.
And given you know various. And given the various, I mean, there's oftentimes like legislative
things. Absolutely. Well, that's what's happened with
Peacock. Out of random.
Peacock is a...
In local communities in like Portland or in, I can't remember if it's Washington State or Oregon.
Fur and Feather.
Maybe it's not Portland, but they...
Fur and Feather ban.
Yeah, the Fur and Feather.
I don't know where it got to in the end, but yeah, it's a worry.
Yeah, I think they were able to fight it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a real worry. But, you know, in fly fishing, we've all got so used to dealing with using peacock in our work. Everybody does. And I'll be honest, in the UK, peacocks are aplenty. But there is a part of the species that are at risk. And that's why peacock was made CITES registered. So you have to be really, really careful when using your peacock, especially if you are travelling. And not many people know that. So we've put a lot of energy into developing, you know, a substitute for peacock in different products that we have. And we've just released in January a synthetic peacock hurl, which has gone down really, really well, I'm pleased to say.
Yeah, I saw that, and I actually just ordered some. From a local shop here.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm
for that.
Looking forward to getting that. I ordered that on Saturday. But for our listeners and for me, can you just tell us a little bit about what CITES or CITES
so
is?
It's the natural world protection, basically. So it's a way of making sure that our natural environment isn't put at risk. So when you go through customs, you know, if you were carrying. I don't mean to be as flippant as this sounds, but, you know, an elephant's tusk, for example, they are protected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you would get in serious trouble if you were caught carrying such an item through. And peacock is on that register. So when you're traveling, in particular, if you've got peacock feathers in your flies, in your tying kit, and, you know, a lot of tyers do travel to international shows. We get lots of guys from the States come over to the shows over here, for example, and into Europe, and vice versa. And we travel into the States ourselves. But unless you can prove the origins of where that came from, that feather came from, and you've got a veterinary certificate for it, and it's been treated as well, then you run the risk of having a CITES registration put against your name, so every time you travel you'll get tapped on the shoulder and called over by the customs guys and be inspected.
And I just looked it up. It's CITES is an acronym. It's the Convention on International Trade
and
Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora.
Yeah,
and it's an international agreement that I assume probably all of, well, the UK, the US,
and many other countries,
the EU, at least, I'm sure. Yeah. Interesting. And did you guys base your R&D on this? Because it looks like this international agreement was signed in the 70s.
It's been there for a very, very long time.
Countries.
So yes, it's a concern for us. At the end of the day, we want to provide our customers and fly tyers around the world with the very, very best materials. if we can avoid harming our natural world, if we can avoid any problems for people when they're traveling for our dealers, you know, importing, exporting, then that's absolutely our focus. But it's all about quality all the way.
And how, I mean, without getting into too much of your corporate secrets, I know that, you know, so many natural fibers depend on the like water repelling ability. Yeah. You know, to keep a dry fly afloat or for whatever reason. How have you guys been able to develop materials that are able to repel moisture in a safe, environmentally friendly way, and, you know, with conservation in mind? Because I know, like, even on my vest right now, I did some research about the floatant that I use, and it's just full of chemicals, so I'm going to stop using that.
I'm very blessed, Devin, that I have a team here that are experts in their field, and their absolute focus is to deliver the best. So you're right, I can't share trade secrets with you, I'm sorry. I would have a very, very distressed team if I was to give the game away. But obviously, you know, this is something that's very close to our heart, and we just want to do our very best for tires around the world.
Yeah, and it works. It works. Whatever you guys are doing works. But is there, however you guys do it, is environmental
protection? Yeah, we even have an environmental policy in our catalogue, etc. So we generate our own electricity, for example, here. You know, we use solar panels. We recycle everything. It is something that's very close to our heart. We do have one member of the team who he's one of his roles, because we all multitask here, you know, he monitors how we do these things and how well we're doing. So he flags up anything that's of any concern, and if ever anything should pop up, we would jump on that immediately.
And going back a little bit, back to your kind of IT background and corporate. First of all, are you the boss, or is Andy the boss?
I know what he'd say. My name is over the door, Devin. Okay, I'm CEO. Okay,
got it. That's all I needed to know.
To be fair, credit where it's due. We founded the company together. He's a very clever man. And he, we do jokingly call him the nutty professor here, because he's the inventor of all the materials. We have very, very complementary skills. So it is very much a 50-50 split of what we do and how we do it. We have very, respectable, sorry, is that the right word? But, you know, complementary skills for each other.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, kind of, he invents it and I talk about it, you know. But please understand that it's not just Andy and I here. If I'm in an upstairs office right now,
there's a whole team.
But beneath me, there's armies of people right now doing dyeing, spooling, making materials, packaging materials, stacking them on shelves in a warehouse, shipping them out the door, and then we have the admin people, the sales people, you know. It's not just Andy and I anymore. This company, who we sometimes liken to our third child, is definitely out there. It's got legs, and it's really doing its own thing these days.
I love it. How much did your experience help you start this company?
Well, Semperfly started very humbly, to be fair. But we'd both worked in the corporate world, so having worked in large companies, I think we had a lot of experience to bring to this party. So we were very hot on customer service, we're very good at the infrastructure and the systems that we put in place, everything is very solid here. how we work with our staff, etc., and our customers. So I do think that had a real balance, a real positive effect on Semperfly's growth.
And I know that you are business to business right now. But was there ever a time when you were direct to consumer, or is there any plan to go direct to consumer?
Semperfly's always been.
How has that played a role?
Semperfly's always been B2B. You know, we spent an awful lot of time building the channels, and we have some fantastic partners around the world. In some countries we go straight to the shops. In other countries, we go to distributors or wholesalers, depending on which terminology you use. But we also supply factories and anything and everything in between, really, on a trade level. And it works. You know, we are aware that other manufacturers have changed their policies, but what we've seen there is it upsets the channels. You know, you're in competition with your dealers. And we have some fantastic relationships with our dealers in the States. You know, we have a distribution team, and they're just the best people to work with. They completely match our ethos. They're a great bunch of people who look after the Semperfly dealers in the States so well. We're really proud to be working with them, and I think we're now in our 8th year of working with them. We speak to them pretty much every day. We've spent time together in person. I don't want to upset that relationship.
Yeah. No. And if it's if it ain't broke, why fix it? So Semperfly has, from my perspective at least, boomed since 2010, over the past 14 years. What have been some of your significant milestones, either planned or unplanned, that you guys have accomplished, have gone through to bring you where you are today?
Well, there's so many. You know, we've got so many wonderful experiences that we've been through, the travels that we've done. We've seen some amazing places, met some incredible people, proud to some of the world's very best fly tyers are dear friends of ours, and we've spent really good quality time with them, and we've fished in amazing places. But the highlight has to be the Queen's Award.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
It makes me get goosebumpy even thinking about it now. And we were in the States when we found out we'd won as well. So for a US audience...
Oh, there's like some irony there, I feel like.
Absolutely. So we got the last Queen's Award before our darling late Queen died. So so basically, for a US audience, just to explain, the Queen's Award is the highest accolade any business can get here. The best description I can give is it's like being given a knighthood for your company. And the way it works is anybody can apply, and there's different categories that you can apply for. We went for international trade because 93% of what we do is export. So
92%, you said? 93%. Okay.
And, you know, our customers are in pretty much every corner of the globe. You know, out in the Far East, you know, Tiemco distribute for us in Japan, for example. You know, we have great partners in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, all of Scandinavia, Europe, States, Canada, you name it. They're everywhere. And we love each and every one of them. Mm-hmm. So we applied under that category for international trade. And the way it works is you fill out these forms, you send all your information in, and then you wait. And you wait while everything is assessed. It's a very long process because everything is considered very, very carefully. And then you find out that you've been shortlisted. And at that point, you start getting excited, but you're not allowed to tell anybody. It's all a secret. And then...
Right.
So you go to the next...
Yeah, it's an Oscar nomination.
It really is. So the next stage from there, then, you have to be audited, okay? Because they're not just going to do it without a full check. So we hope that this Queen's Award gives, you know, people reassurance in us as a company that we've been verified by the very best. So So you get audited, and that information gets submitted, and you wait again, and you wait some more. And then we were not, it was 2022, we were over for the IFTD show. We were over in Salt Lake, and we were getting ready for the show. We opened our email, and bang, there's this email that says, "We are delighted to inform you that on behalf of Her Majesty the Queen, that you've been a winner of the Queen's Award for International Trade." I haven't quite got the wording right, but it was just the most amazing wording. I'll have to dig out that full wording. that's it. "The Queen's accepted the Prime Minister's recommendation that your company be awarded a Queen's Award for International Trade." That's it. It's come back to me. So the thing was that we were under strict embargo. So we had to go to that show that day and not tell a soul. And we went around with these grins, you know? People must have thought there was something seriously odd with those Brits that are over.
They are unusually happy today, these two.
So anyway, you're under embargo because the actual full announcement gets announced, as it was then, on the Queen's birthday. Obviously, things have changed now. They've moved into a King's Award now.
Right. Yeah, I looked at the website. Yeah. It's like the Queen's Award doesn't show up anymore.
No, we have King Charles now. And so what happens is you go to a reception at Buckingham Palace. By that stage, sadly, our Queen was not well enough to attend. So it was attended by the then Prince Charles and Princess Anne. And a lovely time was had. After that, then, the Lord Lieutenant comes to your premises. Now, the Lord Lieutenant is, Lieutenant, I think, as you say in the States. They are the King or Queen's representative. So you have to treat them as though they're royalty, but they come in all their beautiful finery, and they come to make a formal proclamation, which is a scroll that comes out and is read out by the deputy, and then you're presented with the proclamation, which is signed by the Queen and the Prime Minister, and they present you with an award as well. And then you party, Devin. Then you just party, and you have a lot of fun.
Then you just, it's done.
We had a really good day. We had a really, really good day.
And what year was that?
2022. Oh, it was just the best.
That's really, I mean, that's just incredible. I don't know if we have, I mean, obviously there's no equivalent to that specifically, but I imagine there's some sort of...
I don't know the award schemes
business
in the
export
States,
awards, but that is something special.
Oh, it really, really is. So we fly a flag outside, the Queen's Award flag. You'll see the Queen's Award emblem on our product.
On the website.
Yeah, it's on our email signatures because we're entitled to do that. And we're very, very proud of that.
And has that actually helped business? Or, I mean, is it just kind of, like, did you see a noticeable increase in revenue or anything?
It gave people such confidence.
Just getting the name out?
I think, and the recognition. We also got an awful lot of PR out of it. It was absolutely fantastic. We believe we're the first fly tying company ever to have received such an award. There was another fly fishing company got it in the 1980s. But when it comes, that was a long time ago, I guess. But when it comes to fly tying, we're the only ones ever to have received it. And King Charles is a passionate fly angler.
Of course.
So,
of course, hunting and fly fishing.
So he was quite interested in what we do.
That's wild. Well, I hope that that's included in the crown in the next season.
I've just finished watching it. I don't recall seeing it, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay. It's too bad. Let me just look here. And since Yorkshire's such a kind of profound base of fly fishing, how has the local community there been been supportive or otherwise of you guys?
Well, we're very.
It's got to be like this homegrown powerhouse now. I mean, there must
absolutely
be a lot of pride in that.
People love the fact that we're a genuine manufacturer. We genuinely make our materials in the UK, and you know, we're very proud. We're adopted Yorkshire people, Andy and I. You know, we moved here in the very early 90s from down south. But yeah, we love being in Yorkshire, and we love the welcome that we get from local people. We're hearing a lot of great feedback for our materials now, and there's a lot of love for the company, and that's just heartwarming for us.
And how, if you can tell me, how many people do you employ in Yorkshire?
Oh, right. Then, okay.
I mean, I'm sure there's others around the world.
I need to double check the final count, but it's 20-something people work here. Yeah. And we are currently taking on extra help at the moment to help meet the demand. So we've just increased, you know, the number of people in the factory and the number of people in the warehouse just to help meet the demand, because we're just so busy. The increased demand is fantastic.
Well, even in NanoSilk alone, just that one SKU, you know, like working with Gary to here in the States to get, you know, more supplies into shops. I know, I mean, this stuff is just flying off the shelves. It's a good problem
so
to have.
We're so grateful to everybody for their support for Semperfly and for the love that they give. You know, we see it in our social media, we see it when we talk to people, when we're at shows, etc. And we'll never forget, you know, how and why we started in the very humble beginnings. You know, at the end of the day, we're a family-run business. It's started by Andy and myself. Our daughter works here, her husband works here. Our grandson, who is now 6 years old, wants to work here because he thinks now that he can read and write. He doesn't need to go to school anymore. He can just come to Semperfly every day.
Right.
He's enjoying getting into his tying and his fishing. He's currently on the front cover of a magazine for the Fly Dressers Guild. And he's been featured in a couple of other magazines. So watch this space when Louis gets out there as he gets a bit older. He's going to take over the world. Yeah,
I love it.
So, you know, we are eternally grateful for the support and the love that people give us.
I imagine the U.S. market is quite absolutely large for you guys. It is probably a big percentage of that 93%.
It is a good percentage.
Just because it's so big.
It is a great market for us. And I have to say, we love the positivity that we get from the States. But we do have many other territories that are doing well for us as well. You know, Scandinavia's really good.
Yeah.
Europe's good. Things are really growing in many, many other parts of the world. So, yeah, the spread is quite mixed, actually. It's not all lumpy as you might think.
Two questions here. One is, have you guys run into the kind of traditional, I want my made in the USA kind of stuff. And how have you navigated that if you ran into it?
I haven't heard that myself personally. But I do think there's a belief out there that we are an American company because of our name.
Yeah. I mean, I'm jealous, by the way. As a former U.S. Marine with Semper Fi as the...
I take my hat off to you, sir.
with the motto. Oh. Well, I just love the name. It's just the best
name.
Thank
you. We're proud of it.
Yeah. And secondly, I was talking to Susan Gates from Casting for Recovery, and I was surprised to learn that a couple of things. One, that they did have a UK program. I think they're trying to start it up again. But that there are active programs in New Zealand, Australia, you know, and they're looking to grow around the world. And it just kind of afterwards blew my mind. Like the sport seems to be, of course, fly fishing and fishing in general has been around for
For sure.
Thousands of years. The kind of special modern act of fly fishing seems to be growing as well. And I don't know if it's with the pandemic and people just trying to get outside. But I imagine that you guys probably see some of that as well in your international expansion.
Well, my family joke that
just as people get aware,
when I'm dealing with our customers, that I follow the sun. You know, I get up with the guys in the Far East as they're ending the day. We're starting ours, and I go to bed with the Canadians and the Americans. You know, so
that's right.
But it's a very interesting world in which to work. Obviously, for us in the UK, fly fishing's been a part of our world for centuries, particularly in this area. So we're very blessed around here with some beautiful rivers and countryside where fly fishing is just part of the furniture. Very traditional.
Well, I can't wait to come over and go fly fishing.
That would
with
be
you.
Wonderful, Devin. That would be wonderful. You've got a lot of great places to choose from.
Perfect. Well, it sounds like the sun never sets.
What a great phrase. I might borrow that.
Yeah. Well, I think you guys came up with it. So, as you started all out your company, and this is, I'm asking because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are interested in starting independent, like new small businesses. How have you grown as a business leader?
Do you mean me on a personal level, or how did we build the company?
Yeah, you on a personal level. How have you grown personally as a business leader from 2006 to now?
That's an interesting question. How can I put it? I mean, a lot of my friends at my age are retiring right now. Okay. And we're still really enjoying what we do, and we're still very much at the coalface. We've had so many great opportunities to learn on this journey. Hasn't always been easy. There's been a lot of fun. There's been a lot of travel. There's been challenges along the way. And I think it depends how you tackle a problem. And I think Andy and I are both very resourceful people. And we're very determined people. And if you come up against any kind of opportunity or bump in the road, if you roll your sleeves up and get stuck in, you can grow through that. And often that takes you somewhere better in the end. You can't always see it at the time, but afterwards, if you can take a deep breath and get stuck in, when you look back afterwards, you kind of go, right, I can see why that happened now. And you're often in a better place afterwards than where you were, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think any sort of adversity faced as a leader in general probably helps you grow as you go through it. Before my next question, how has being a mom and grandmother applied to your abilities and your skills as a CEO?
I'm very good at multitasking.
Changing diapers and singing at the same time.
Sweeping the floor. No, but also running the business at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, I think you have to be able to jump from one thing to another, be it, you know, an important phone call or a problem with the plumbing. I don't know. Whatever it is, you have to be able to adapt and sometimes put a face on, you know, when you might not be feeling it. You just have to go for it. So I am the proudest mum and grandmother on the planet. People that know me, they're sick of me getting out the photos, you know, when they see me and telling the stories of our most recent family get together. It doesn't matter that our kids are in their late 30s now, but I'm still their mum, you know, I'm still there for them.
I know, like, as a dad, I'm a new dad. I mean, I've got a 4 and a 2-year-old. I know that a tangible change in me, both at home and at work, because of my kids, is increased, or at least increased ability to manage frustration, and I think an increased pool of patience for those around me. I imagine things like that, you know, play a role as well as you're leading a company, and particularly one that has to export and maintain relationships around the world.
I think where we are blessed, we have created a wonderful team here, and in the company, we've got people that are really knowledgeable and they're really dedicated and proud of what they do, and we've got each other's back. You know, so there's a lot of trust.
That's awesome.
To be trust. We all mess up sometimes, but, you know, as long as you can have good communication about it, it's so, so important. Andy and I can no longer be involved in every intricate detail of the company. We steer this ship now, and we do our best. That's all we can do. We can only ever do our best. And I think as long as we keep that perspective, you know, our customers are lovely people too. As long as you're honest and open with everybody and you deliver, or if there's a problem, you talk to people, then most things are fine. Most things can be sorted out. But one thing we do pride ourselves on is, you know, looking after our people in-house and looking after our customers. We do, you know, the best we can, quality of materials, the stock levels that we have, so we make sure we deliver as quickly as we can. And then talking to people, looking after them. We're a very positive, proactive company. So we'll call shops and say, hi, how's it going? Is there anything you need from us? Mm. Would you like some merch? Do you want a social media shout out? Can we come in store and do a demo? Because we have a wonderful pro team as well. Mustn't forget these guys. And they're very good at, you know, supporting our dealers as well. A lot of them do demonstrations in shops. All designed to help channel the business through our partners so that everybody wins. And if everybody's winning, then everybody's happy.
Yeah. And I mean, the end user ultimately is out there catching fish. On ties they fly, on ties they tied with your material. I mean, there's something special about that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
We talked about milestones, and obviously the Queen's Award is the principal one. Can you talk about some challenges as well? I don't know if they're just growing pains or kind of.
There's always challenges in business, you know. There's always different things. But I think we have weekly team.
Is there anything unique to this industry that you faced?
Well, we don't get caught up in the import-export problems. When Brexit happened, that was interesting for a while.
Mm.
Because when the UK came out of Europe, we weren't sure how it was going to work out. And we have a, you know, good dealer base across Europe. And for a while there was some confusion in Europe and in the UK. There was a lot of hype. There was a lot of misinformation getting shared. And it was a case of working closely with different organisations to make sure we put out the best information. Fortunately for us at Semperflow, we qualify for the free trade agreement with Europe because we produce our own materials. So we do have that in a positive way to help us, so that we just put out the right paperwork, which we've got, every order gets. And yeah, the orders go through nice and smoothly. I think the only other challenge we had was during COVID. We didn't know what was going to happen. I had no clue. You know, we went through lots of shutdowns here. I think three shutdowns. Lockdowns, sorry. And we just didn't know what was going to happen. But in the end, the demand for our products rocketed because I think people were at home. They were tying some of our competitors, had to temporarily close down, or their supply chain collapsed and they couldn't deliver. So a lot of people converted to Semperfly. And yeah, we just rocketed. So to be honest, what happened was myself, Andy, our daughter and son-in-law thought, okay, we've got really good stock levels. We can all multitask. We'll manage it. We'll send everybody else home, keep everybody safe, and we'll manage it. Because we just didn't know what was going to happen. But anyway, the orders kept coming and coming and coming. Yeah. And we did that for 5 weeks where we worked. I think Andy and I, we started, and bear in mind, our grandson wouldn't go to school. So we had to create a rota for childcare in like 3-hour blocks between the four of us, okay, to keep him entertained and home educated. Right. Well, he was only little at the time, but he's a very bright kid. He needed the stimulation. We did these blocks of childcare, and between the four of us, we carried on the manufacturing, the production, managing the orders, but it got to a point where we just couldn't cope. We were working from 5 a.m. till 1 a.m. And we did that for 5 weeks. And
were you guys also doing, were you manufacturing too?
We thought we'd got
too?
Such good stock everything. Levels we could wow. ride it out for, until we knew what was happening. But that it just cool. went through the roof. And in the end, we kind of went, no, we've got to bring people back. You were allowed to work at that time in the UK, but what we did was we changed the factory layout completely. And we put in various rules, regulations about hand sanitizing, masks, etc. And everybody had to test before they came to work. And we had to bring everybody back because the exponential growth. Yeah,
it was not sustainable.
That was a good challenge in the end, but it was still challenging all the same.
So, Queen's Award in 22, COVID hits in 2020, and the Brexit was right about the same time, if I'm not mistaken.
That was just before. I can't remember the exact year now. Yeah.
Was that just before COVID? Okay. But bang, man, bang, bang. A busy 3 years. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible that you guys were able to take these massive, to some degree, societal changes and turn them into opportunity. Just really, really interesting how that worked out. And here you are in 2024, not even really fully out of it yet, but just, very, very challenging times that you guys were able to manufacture opportunity.
We've moved premises since then as well.
Really cool. So, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so and just an,
yeah, it
yeah,
was quite a
another
big move
thing
as
to
well
add
because we rapidly outgrew the premises. So we had to find a new place. We've only been in the new place the year last September that we moved.
And just more square footage.
Way more. Yeah. And we were able to and remodel it so that it was completely fit for purpose. But we had to do that at the same time as keeping
awesome.
The wheels of the business going and keeping everybody occupied and happy. That was no mean feat, but we love the new place and it's made us even more efficient. So it was a really good call.
Hmm. What kind of moving to the future now? There are still a lot of materials that Semperfly does not have. And again, without getting into like trade secrets or future plans that you guys don't want to disclose, What kind of future goals, near and far term, are you looking at?
Obviously, we want to continue growing as we are. We've grown year on year, and that's important to us. We will always bring out innovative materials. We have a dedicated R&D team, and they have an R&D list that never stops. And they're always working on the new materials, and they have a roadmap for that. I can't share with you what they are.
Come on.
I told you I'd have to kill them.
Don't tell me then.
Hopefully be reassured that there's some cool stuff coming down the road. We've just done a major release in January. Prior to that, we launched some of the materials at the end of last year. You know, when we launched, for example, Eggstatic, we were so thrilled last year to get the American Fly Fishing Trade Association Award for that material. So when we do something, you know, we do it in style. So, yeah, there will always be new innovation.
Yeah.
But I'm really keen to explore more places, more people, more opportunities, because what matters to Andy and I is what we love is the connecting with the tyres, the people that are using our materials, tying with them, taking them fishing, engaging with young people. That's something that's really, really close to our heart. You know, finding the Louis of this world, you know, our grandson, you know, finding more of these little people that want to get into tying and encouraging that. You know, all these things are stuff that we really, really want to do. That's what makes us happy.
I took my son, my 4-year-old son Teddy, out yesterday for his first fly casting lesson on the water. And you know, he did really well. It was great. And and they're always going through, I call this my meditation station back here, but it's really my fly tying station. But you know, Teddy and Jackson, the two boys, are just always playing with all the materials and stuff. So I intend on having them follow in Louis' path for sure. Yeah, I think it's great. And there is an interesting dynamic in fly fishing, because you go to the shows, and in my experience, there's a lot of older people, and then it seems to be a growing number of younger which is good for the industry. And you know, one of the reasons why I am doing this podcast is just to expose more people to the benefits of fly fishing and fly tying, because you know, it's just so, like I said, this is my meditation station. You know, come in here, tie a couple flies. They don't have to be perfect, but it can be just a break from the chaos of daily life.
I work with the best fly tyers in the world, both as clients and pro team and people here under this roof. But I don't think the fish really mind if your fly is not perfect. I think the fish would just, is, you know, just be happy that everybody's happy. That, you know, right. You know, if you're right. Getting pleasure out of your fly tying, if it's helping you or anybody, then that can only be a hugely positive experience.
Do you tie flies?
I don't need to, if I'm honest. I've got
right.
Well, no, not
Andy's
that.
Got it covered for you.
I've got an army of 100 pro team members around the world. Okay, I have a collection of flies here, and in our in our shed where all our fly fishing kit is, you know, we've got so many flies. We could fish for our entire lives and never need to tie another one. And actually, if I did,
Louis's going to have a good inheritance.
Louis already got his
a shed own full of flies
collection, because he's getting into tying, and we we have a private group for our pro team, and I put up some photos in there and said, oh, look what the little guy's been doing. So many of them said, I love it, I love it. They decided upon themselves to support him. So very regularly, he gets deliveries. He's got one this month from Argentina. But he has a fly collection all across the States, Scandinavia, all of the European countries. He's got some from Australia. He's got some from Japan. He's got flies all boxed up in boxes, labelled up. For you name it, cool. He can go fishing for the rest of his life already. He's got his own collection.
With the best ties.
From the best people. So, answering your question, I do love to see the tying. I love being a part of it, but I don't need to tie myself at all, because if, you know, I fished myself with people like Hans van Klinken, for example, and if I needed anything, he would just, they say, please have this, you know. I've got,
here's a Klinkhammer.
But I have a wall of flies in the office, let alone what we've got at home. So it's amazing. I am very blessed. I am. I know how lucky I am.
And how are you an avid angler as well?
I love to go out fishing if I can. Unfortunately, life is quite demanding on us sometimes on our time, because our hours are long in the office because of the following the sun thing that I mentioned, you know, with our different customers. And I still like to keep in touch with a lot of our customers personally, though we do have a sales team that look after the majority, but I tend to personally look after some of our special customers. And when we're going home, they're getting started. So quite often there's things to do on an evening and weekends. We do a lot of shows, we do open days, etc. But when we can, we do like to go. And for me, if I had a choice, I like the Yorkshire Dales particularly. In fact, I was only there last weekend. And we have some beautiful tarns, which are little tiny lakes. We have beautiful rivers. That's my thing. Whereas, you know, I know some of the people like the still water. But I just like being in the, you know, the little streams, the little rivers, where it's very, very therapeutic.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what it does for me. And I commonly say that I spend 99% of my time meditating and 0 to 1% of the time catching fish.
Doesn't matter if you catch, does it? Sometimes there's something. It's just about being there. There is a phrase. We used to have it on a poster that said, a bad day's fishing is better than a good day in the office. Something like that. So, yeah.
Oh, yes, 100%. Well, you'll notice on my Instagram that there's very few pictures of me and a fish, but I am passionate about the sport nonetheless, and trying to share it with other
that's
people.
That's fantastic.
Are you guys ever gonna? Any interest in getting into hooks?
We're firm believers in sticking with what we do best. We know what we're doing on the material side of things. We never say never. Materials is what we do.
Well, and it was a pleasure talking to you. I know that you're busy, and as we said, the sun never sets on Semper Fly. But here on Mending on the Fly, we end with the whip finish. And so if you have any parting thoughts or ways that people can get a hold of you or any notes for the audience,
I have to say, I really enjoyed talking with you. It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you very much for the invite again. If people want to get in touch with us, we welcome it wholeheartedly. Social media is really important to us. So you can find us either with @Semperfly or @Semperfly_flytying. And please give us a follow. Mm-hmm. Or if you're using our materials, tag us as you go so we can share in your love of tying. We would absolutely love that. If anybody's stuck with how to find our materials on our website, you can drill into any of the products and there's a where can I buy this button, and we'll direct you to your nearest dealer, and that's at semperfly.net. So if anybody has any questions or needs any help with product, then please use the contact us or the I want to buy on semperfly.net.
And I know on semperfly.net there is a catalog as well, a pretty comprehensive catalog. Is that available to anyone or just businesses?
So the website shows the full product range that's available. But if anybody wants to buy the materials, they would buy it via our dealer network around the world. We do have, I'm not sure if you're referring to our Flipbook catalog.
I'm actually looking. Yes, the flipbook,
it's
because
huge.
I have found that
to
be incredibly helpful. Yeah,
that's semperfly.us.
Yeah, so it's 324
semperfly.
Pages.
Semperfly.us/catalog. Now, it hasn't got all the latest releases in it, but it has got a huge array of product and flies and fantastic advice in there. And it's a great resource. I think there's something like 400 fly patterns in there. So anybody can read that online and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. For anyone that hasn't seen it, if you're interested in getting into fly tying or interested in Semperfly's materials, they have the patterns and then the materials listed underneath them to include hook size and you know, whether it's a Semperfly material or something else, it's listed in there. So really, really a great resource for fly tires out there. The last thing I'll say is I'm going to give a shout out to my local Semperfly dealers. The one in Maryland is Precision.
Great partner.
Fly and Tackle. They have a place in Pennsylvania and Maryland. And then Maggie Valley Fly Shop down in North Carolina.
Great partners.
Just both, fabulous shops. Really awesome people, which is the important part.
Oh,
just great human beings in both of those. So I'm glad they're partnered with you, and I look forward to visiting both their shops soon
and
picking
say
up
hi
some
to
more
them
Semperfly
for me when you're there.
I will, for sure. And thank you so much for joining me today. Congratulations on all the success, and primarily for being a great mom, great grandmother, getting your kids and grandkids out on the water. It's just great. It's just great to see a family business doing so well. I appreciate you guys. You know, what you do is great, and your ethos is phenomenal, and just really appreciate you.
Devin, your words mean the world. So thank you so much. Delighted to be a part of your program of podcasts, and for all the love and support for Semperfly, just a huge thank you from me, from Andy and the team here. We're just eternally grateful.
Of course. Well, we will talk soon, and I hope to see
you
in New York.
The door will always be open, Devin. We'd love to see you.
All right. Sounds
Take
good.
Take care. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.